is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Christmas movies that came out after the year 1992.
I'm Alonzo, and the prospect of watching movies that Bran chooses for me has me tingling with anticipation. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Another week of Deck the Hallmark. And what better way to kick it off than with one of the 25 weeks of Christmas? And it's hard to believe, Alonzo, I believe this is going to be a week eight or weeks. I don't know. But we're chugging right along, aren't we?
Yeah.
Man, it feels
flying by. We're really trying to fill that gap until, you know, Christmas in July hits.
And I've got the gap filler for you today, Alonzo. Ooh, we'll get to that in just a minute. But Alonzo, I don't know how what it's like being a film critic in February. Is it anything like being a Christmas movie reviewer in February? are you in the thick of it, or kind of things dying down?
You know, it depends. February is. It used to be just kind of like January and February were sort of a dumping ground of, like, after all the awards movies that got crammed into December, like, that's when those movies would start spreading out into other markets. And then the big movies opening were just kind of like generally junk. But that's kind of changing now. And you get, like, every so often in February, you'll get like a Black Panther or something opens, and it's a big deal. But definitely this is a moment of the year where we're talking about the Academy Awards far more than I would care to do so, but here we are.
I saw Death on the Nile.
Okay.
Yeah, the Army Hammer stuff's tough, man. It's just tough.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, it's only in theaters, and I'm still not going out to screenings yet. So
yeah,
but I'm very excited. The Japanese Oscar nominee for Best Picture and Best Director, Drive My Car, is premiering March 2nd on HBO Max.
Oh, there you go.
I know a lot of people were like, oh man, it's not opening anywhere near me, but now you can see it.
There you go. So yeah, you know, there's stuff coming out. Army Hammer.
The old Death on the Nile is on the Criterion Channel, the 70s one with, like, Peter Ustinov and Betty Davis and Mia Farrow and stuff. So I'd be interested to compare the two when I get to see the new one.
Is it good?
It is. It's fun. Yeah.
To show you how much I know, I didn't even know it was a remake.
Yep.
I know it's a book thing. Right?
Yeah. And here's the crazy thing with Agatha Christie movies is that you are not allowed to change the ending. So if you've read the book or you've seen another movie version, you know how this thing ends, but because they can't mess with that at all. But, you know, that it's the journey. It's not the destination, you know.
Yeah.
Like when you're going down the Nile.
That's exactly right. It's just like the Nile. All right. Let's get to the business at hand.
Yes.
So far, you haven't liked any.
Sorry.
And so far, you've seen all but one, one that I brought that you hadn't seen. I don't know if you have seen this one. I could see you purposely avoiding. avoiding this. We're gonna do the 2006 movie Deck the Halls with Danny DeVito.
I have seen it.
This is what I'll say. And please, I don't want to give too much away about my hot take, but I'm just excited to talk about this one. I think there's a lot to talk about with this. I saw this movie quite a few years ago, and then I watched it again this past holiday season.
Now, so did you see it in the theater when you were like
no.
Now we're up to you being a full on like teenager. It's exciting.
Yes. No. I would have been a freshman in high school in 2006. And I did not go see Deck the Halls. I don't know. I don't know when I saw it for the first time, but I'm rewatching it in 2021, the holiday season 2021. It just made me want to talk about it. So I'm excited to talk about it with you.
I did see it when it came out. This was a moment where Dave's mom had a stroke, and she was living in a nursing home in Rowlett, Texas for quite a while. And he would visit like every 6 weeks or so. And, you know, they would had a whole thing where they'd go out and movies and stuff. And this was on a visit that I went with him, and we all went. And this was back when there were still movie ads in the newspaper. And we would basically sort of like open it up in front of her, be like, pick something. And she would, you know, point. And she wanted to see Deck the Halls. So we saw Deck the Halls.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. You know what I'm starting? This is tough though. And you did yourself dirty here with your list because all
I know, movies, I did tell you.
you told me that you either didn't like them or you didn't see them. And yeah. That's tough. That's tough to do. That's tough to do to me. So I'm sorry.
I wasn't sure what the point was of telling you movies that I liked, you know.
No, that's fair. You should have just done ones that you hadn't seen. I think that would have been helpful.
There aren't that many. That's the problem.
I know. In case you haven't seen it, here's a quick one, and I'll do a longer one afterwards. But you got Steve, who is like a very well put together suburban father, and he has a new neighbor across the street named Danny. Really original. And Danny's going to just turn Steve's life upside down. And things will get weird. Things will get cringy. And but then maybe things will get merry. We'll find out. I'll Deck the Halls. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's go watch it. I'm sorry, buddy. Let's go watch it. And maybe watch it like on 2x or something like that, double speed. And we'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark. And we're back. Both in the same places we were just a few minutes ago.
Yes, and it's the magic of podcasting, really, that we can go away, watch a movie, and come back and be exactly where we left
off. Oh, it's amazing. Alonzo, very excited to talk to you about the 2006 cinema classic.
Yeah, 2006, and what a coincidence that it's a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm not buying it, man. I'm not buying it. Whoever reviewed this movie can go kick rocks. That's all I'm going to say. Because they missed it, I think. They missed it.
you think this after a recent reviewing, really?
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, of course. 100%.
Oh, let's hear what it's about, Bram.
Yeah. Deck the Halls originally debuted in the theaters on November 22nd, 2006, and went a little something like this. Meet Steve. He's a dad. He's got kids. He's got a wife. He's got it all, doesn't he? No, he doesn't. Because Danny moves in right across the street.
Buddy.
Ruins his life. By, you know, setting up Christmas lights. And it's hard to know. Is this guy a good guy? Is he just trying to push his button? Who knows? But it really bothers Steve. And Danny discovers the internet and finds out that Google Earth exists. And he has this crazy idea. I want my house to be seen from space. So I'm going to buy all the Christmas lights. I'm going to make my house as bright as humanly possible. And I'm going to get my house seen from space. He tries it. He's doing a lot of things, and it's really bothering Steve. Steve is he's the Christmas guy in town. He knows everything, and he's got a whole plan of how he wants his holiday season to go, and Danny's just ruining it time and time again. And try as he might, Danny can't seem to get his house seen from space. MTV's even on board. They want to help make this happen. But it's just not happening. And Steve and Danny become very competitive. They start to really, get at each other's throats. And eventually, both of their families get fed up with them being, super competitive and ruining Christmas for them. And so both sets of families leave. And that's when Steve and Danny learn a lesson about what it means to really be present at the holiday season, what it means to be a dad, to be a husband. Very important lessons to learn. And so they decide we're going to take down all the lights. We're going to use all these lights to lead the families back to them where they have set up this wonderful Christmas dinner. They're all do it together and they say, sorry that we are the way we were got in the way of Christmas. And then the kids go, I think we should set back up the lights and get everybody in the town. They'll come. They want to do this. We want to make this happen. And so the whole town shows up. They all bring their lights. They all plug them in, but nothing happens. And then they all sing a song together, which, you know, means a lot to everybody. And then they realize that the lights were unplugged. And so they plug in the lights. It shoots up into the space. And the guys at the space, the NASA, I guess, I don't know, go, thumbs up! It's showing them from space! And they're all happy that, my friends, was Deck the Halls! All right, let's talk about it, everybody. Let's talk about it. Now, let me go first, Alonzo. Let me go first.
So
far, I have brought movies that I genuinely love, that I adore, that time and time again, I watch these movies knowing full well Jingle All the Way is not Miracle on 34th Street, nor should it be, but darn it, I love it. Not so much the case with Deck the Halls. I love Christmas. So if it wasn't for loving Christmas, I would have nothing to do with this movie. There's so much about this movie that is detestable. But they got Christmas lights.
You are such a soft touch. If people didn't know by the wide berth that you give to Hallmark movies just for the holiday schmear they do on everything. I mean, I'm sorry, Brand, come on. You would go into any unmarked van if there was enough tinsel on the inside of it.
I'm just consistent. I am who I am. Rewatching this movie again, there are so many, and listen, I love cringe comedy. I'm here for the cringe, but there's a lot of cringe in this movie.
Yeah. This movie gets horny at the most inappropriate moments. Yeah, and I'm not saying you can't do that in a Christmas movie, but I'm saying you need to do it better. And maybe less with the children.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk. So the scene, it's the worst scene that maybe you've ever seen in a Christmas movie. It's a really bad scene where they're finally bonding.
Yes.
Because they're watching now.
Objectifying young ladies.
I don't know who approved this at a, you know, city Christmas fest, but that's neither here nor there. There are some women on stage dancing in Santa outfits.
Yes.
And they
high cuts. You know.
Yes. They are catcalling. They are woohooing. And then, what's his name? Steve? Steve.
Steve Broderick.
Yeah. He says, who's your daddy? Which is an uncomfortable phrase in and of itself. But then it comes out that is his daughter.
He says it three times.
Yeah. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? And then finally the girl turns around. It is his daughter. And it is to be played for laughs. But who laughs at that? Is there anybody who laughed at that?
Yeah, like first the idea that Steve and Buddy, by the way, not Danny.
Buddy, sorry.
The only thing they can find to bond over is like being gross, leery, like creepy middle-aged men, you know, drooling over young ladies in hot Santa costumes. But then it turns out that the three women to whom they are doing that are their daughters.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, and you know, there are smarter movies that could have pulled that kind of thing off. But in this movie that's already operating on such a ridiculously juvenile level, that's just like, it's just gross.
Yeah. No amount of tinsel can make that scene okay. It's not a great movie, but, you know, I love a good Christmas light competition. I love, the Great Christmas Light Fight. I watch it every year on the ABC. The premise of someone trying to get their house seen from space, I do like the premise, but it's just icky. It ends up being icky. The movie's icky.
Well, it's icky for a lot of reasons. First of all, like he wants to have his house seen from space, and you kind of realize he needs it.
He needs it. Yeah.
His entire life revolves around this thing, and it's like, and his wife quite rightly points out, you do have a family. You have a wife and children, and maybe those things could like be as much of a priority for you as that. The Matthew Broderick character is just like a creep in so many ways, and a pill.
Who likes him?
Yeah, exactly. He's irritating. You know, the wives are sort of called upon to, like, you know, put up with their man until they don't, but then they forgive them really quickly. And, you know, it is great that Danny DeVito is maybe the one person in all of show business who is shorter than Kristen Chenoweth.
Yeah.
So that even she can tower over him. Yeah. So this movie is just, I find it just cloying, and I didn't like these characters at all. I didn't get wrapped up into their competition because I thought they were both despicable. Its ultimate goals in terms of what it's saying about how we should celebrate Christmas and what that should mean, you know, so often these movies, like in the last 20 minutes, realize, oh wait, we have to make this about, you know, family or whatever, and it's like it's so often too little too late, and definitely the case in this one where it's just like, I'm not even whatever. I was gritting my teeth because I'd forgotten how bad this was. Yeah. And the thing is, like, Matthew Broderick can do this exact kind of comedy really well. Like, go watch Election. That is one of the cringiest comedies ever, and he's great in it, but he's playing a character that is not being sentimentalized in any way. Like, we're not supposed to like him. We're not supposed to respect him. And so to watch him sink further and further into these machinations that are his own doing is funny. But in this movie, it's just like, it's so... You know, I bet there's a draft somewhere where it is like genuine kind of cringy, you know, uncomfortable, fun, comfortable, as a friend of mine calls these comedies. But, you know, you can just sense the studio notes. Oh, no, we have to like them. We have to love the, you know, and Christmas and it's neither fish nor fowl.
Yeah. It's I will say I did get a good chuckle out of the scene where Buddy is DJing a light show in real time, like,
and the smoke
and it starts smoking out of the machine. I don't think that's how the Christmas light shows work, but I appreciated the commitment to that.
Well, I mean, you know, look, and if you've watched enough of these documentaries about, like, you know, the Christmas lighting houses and you know, light fight and stuff, like, you know that the people who do this stuff, like, plan it all year, yeah, and it takes like all this labor. We're supposed to leave that by himself.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he not only just starts going to the hardware store and buys lights, but he's got like an entire like LED stadium worthy roof of, you know, of flickering images and whatnot.
I don't know who we're supposed to be cheering for in this movie.
I mean, Kristen Davis, maybe, but like her cookbook looks terrible, frankly, yeah, if we're to judge by the stuff they serve at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's true. All the stuff on the table is from your book. Wish it wasn't. let's talk Christmas cheer. You know what? Can I just really, I just want to say,
sure,
I'm in a tough position with my movies because, by and large, you've seen them all. I didn't know if you had seen Deck the Hall. I'm trying to find movies that you haven't seen. But it's tough. Once you get past a certain point, it's tough cooking. So it's tough. This guy's over here. He's, you know, bringing cinema, like, royalty to the table. And I'm like, let's do Deck the Hall. Guys, I hope everyone doesn't hate me. But what's crazy about this movie is it is still... And it's what we talked about every week, every week with my movies,
yeah,
is how often they get replayed. Like, mm-hmm, Deck the Halls was on HBO Family last week in February.
Look, because it wasn't successful, I'm sure that you can get it for a song, you know.
Sure.
And I think it's one of those movies where I think there is, you know, the goal with, I think, making a Christmas movie is you want to make one that people take to heart, that's beloved, that gets watched every year and becomes part of people's family traditions. But I think even if you make one that kind of stinks and doesn't make very much money, they'll just program it anyway, and people will maybe sort of have it on in the background, or they won't have changed channels on Freeform or whatever. It'll just be there. And if you look up occasionally, and even like the worst Hallmark movie, you look up occasionally, oh, look, they're making cookies. Oh, look, they're wrapping presents. Oh, look, it's a town tree lighting. So, like, you know, you're getting Christmas in your face from this movie on a performative, you know, sort of visual level. So I would give it high marks for that, but low marks for actual sort of like Christmas sentiment, or, you know, the reason for the season, whether you looked at that in a religious or even a secular way, as far as sort of celebrating, you know, the best of, you know, human spirit. Like,
Christians should be throwing rocks at their screens when watching this movie. This should be a no. No, if you are a Christian, you should not be watching this movie every year. I can.
This is. I think you could build a whole sermon about, like, this is how you don't do Christmas. Maybe, I don't know.
I guarantee you, there's a mega church out there that's done it.
The Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito is who would he be? Let's not get into this. Let's not get into the weeds. So, what number would you give it on a sliding scale for Christmas cheer?
I mean, probably like a 4, just because I think I'm balancing like the 8, you know, for all the decorations, but a 0 for the actual sentiment.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think it's the least Christmassy feeling I've had after one of the movies so far.
Yeah, this is, you know, the warm and fuzzies are not happening.
Yeah, there's no warm and fuzzy. Like, even the romantic gesture at the end is trumped by, they end up still doing the house.
Yeah, talk about like eating your cake and having it too. It's like, you know, if they had taken it all down and turned it into something like for the families, and even for the town, because let's not forget, Danny DeVito has chopped down the town Christmas tree and put it in Matthew Broderick's house. And how desperate, by the way, is a movie where you have to do the burning down the Christmas tree gag twice?
No doubt. I couldn't get over the fact that, like, what Danny DeVito did is against the law, right? With forging a signature on a title?
Yes.
That's not legal.
And it's not like, oh, you lovable scamp. It's like, oh, you're kind of a scumbag, aren't you?
Why did they not make one of these characters likable?
Beats me. I think they thought that the wives were going to somehow like carry us through it.
They don't give them enough time.
They're not. And you're left kind of wondering, like, why are you married to these doofuses? Like, y'all could do better.
Yeah. I wonder if, what is it? Shawcat or whatever. What's her last name? Yeah.
Alia Shawcat. Yeah.
She's always like, you know, in these very like smart, witty things, and then this is also on her resume.
Yeah, I suspect this is like she changed agents after this one.
Yeah, I think you might.
She's a lot pickier as an adult.
Yeah, I would give it a 3.5-4 as well. It's just like, even the light stuff is like, it's not believable. Like,
it's next level. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely. This is the Los Angeles has a lot of people who work in the industry and who do like set design, production design, and like they'll do their houses up. Like Halloween, you can get maps of like, go to this house, go to this house, because these guys are professionals and they put out a whole the boneyard and the blah blah blah. And then at Christmas time, same deal. You have like pros who doing their own house and will do it. You know, it's almost kind of a calling card in a way, you know, but it's like, this house is way beyond even that. Like, you know, let alone in like, in the middle of Massachusetts, they're not even suburban. They're like out in the country, you know, and you know, even with as little light pollution as there is out there, if you still can't be visible from space, then you really aren't trying hard enough.
But also, the most annoying, there's a lot of annoying things about the most annoying thing about this movie is that there wasn't a large difference or any difference at all in the house that Danny DeVito had to begin with, and then the house at the very end that's finally seen from space. Like,
yeah, I thought for a second, I thought, oh God, is this going to be, is the 2006 cell phone light going to make the thing happen? Or like, luckily no, but still.
I think we were all getting ready for that. Like, What? No, surely not.
By the way, just a quick reminder, there, not only will a cell phone age your movie faster than practically anything else, but I think that 2006 digital effects, looking at them now just on my, like, not all that great TV, mm-hmm. are more dated than looking at, like, 1950s practical effects and miniatures, you know? That stuff upgrades so fast that our eyeballs are like, oh, that's, I can see the light. Like, the whole segment of... the whole very not funny segment of the runaway sleigh and going through the ice and everything, mm-hmm. like you can just see the green screen lines around everything going on.
All right. Comparisons. If you want a better version of Deck the Halls, what do you got?
I have one actually. This is a documentary that premiered on Apple TV Plus last year.
Oh, I still haven't seen it. You just reminded me. I totally missed it last year.
Twas the Fight Before Christmas, and it's about this guy who must have seen this movie, because covers his house in lights, brings in a camel, the whole nine yards, does it one year, and the city like cracks down on him because he didn't get permits for anything. So he and his family moved to like just outside the city limits where it's unincorporated, and so it's, you know, he can get away with more. But then he has to deal with the homeowners association. And what's fascinating about the movie is that you start out and he's telling the story. He's like, oh, I love Christmas and I just wanted to bring this, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you think, oh, those meanies at the homeowners association. The more you get to know this guy and the more you see what he's doing, he's, and the more likeable. You get to know the neighbors, you're like, maybe that homeowners association has a point, you know? But you know, see for yourself. I think the movie kind of doesn't, you know, you'll decide for yourself who you side with, but I definitely went through a journey on that one.
Is he a little more likable than the characters in this movie?
Oh, no. I'll let you decide.
Who's your daddy? Does he say that in the documentary? Because if he doesn't say that, he's automatically better.
That, I suppose, yes. He has that. That gives him a leg up.
All right. There you go. Just go rewatch the second. What's that movie called from Hallmark? The Christmas House. Go watch the second Christmas House. You got a light battle on that one. Go watch that. That'll give you. That'll
just don't watch Christmas, Making Spirits.
I can definitively say Christmas House 2 is miles better than Deck the Halls. I can defend. People didn't think I was high enough on Christmas House 2, but it makes Deck the Halls. It's just better. Is what I'm trying to say.
I will second you on that one. Yeah, no question. Yeah. I would watch again over this in a heartbeat.
I would watch. Yeah. God. It's tough.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right. This is the last. I won't do this again to either of us. I will only bring movies from now on
that at least you love,
that I definitively love. Yes.
Okay. That's fair.
I saw Deck the Halls on the list and I was like, you know, let's bring it to the table. Let's see what happens, but no more, no more of this. So we're going to get real. We're going to get real giants like the Polar Express and the Grinch in here.
Either way, I lose. Doesn't matter. I'm down for whatever. It's you, fine. I know what I signed up for.
This was a strategic move on my part because we can only go up, right? Like,
I don't know. If we've got
the Polar Express and the Grinch. You cannot
coming up.
Don't you dare put those in the same world.
You know,
Alonzo. Had it with you. All right, I'll take off my headphones. You let me know, or you let them know what we're going to watch next week.
Okay. You saw him on? I can't tell with his ears if he's wearing them or not. His feet, he froze. That's why. Okay. All right. We're staying in 1947. Get comfy. We're going to be here for a while. But it's an all-star delight. It's Cary Grant, David Niven, and Loretta Young in The Bishop's Wife.
We did it.
We did it.
Oh boy. I have to wait a whole week to find out.
Oh my gosh.
We don't know. We're
dressed just like this.
Maybe if I can remember. thank you so much for listening. I hope you didn't watch the movie. Until next time. I wish you a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.